to the book of Exodus, chapter 25. Exodus, chapter 25. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there, so keep praying me through. But I believe last week, Brother Duke gave me 16 minutes. You guys were here last week? I think Brother Duke gave me an extra 16 minutes. So if I go over 16 minutes, then you guys have Brother Duke to beat down. Amen? What's wrong with you? But I won't use them. I'll just take a little at a time. I won't exhaust my account. Amen. Exodus 25, verse 1 through 9. The Bible said, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. From everyone who gives willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary.'" Say that again. "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, so you shall make it." Then flip over a few more chapters to chapter 35 and verses 4 through 9. Exodus 39, 4 through 9, it says, "And Moses spoke to all the congregation." So first we see God telling Moses what to say, and now we see Moses actually saying what God told him to say. You understand that's how things work in the economy of God. God tells you what to do, and then you do it. Is that rocket science? Everybody get that? So here Moses is. It says, "And he spoke to the congregation of children of Israel, saying, 'This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord: gold, silver, and bronze, purple, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and the sweet incense, onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate.'" Then let's skip down to 36, verses 2 through 7. "Then Moses called Bezalel," help me out, Lord. "And Oholiab, and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart," there it is again, "was stirred to come to do the work, and they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing him a free will offering every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, 'The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do.' So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, 'Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary.' And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed too much." Somebody say, "More than enough." The title of today's message is "The Glory is in the Giving." Look at your neighbor and say, "The glory is in the giving." Listen, for the past 2 months or so, we've been talking about teaching a series called Into the Heart of Worship, A Journey Through the Tabernacle. We've talked about how the tabernacle was constructed. If you can see the image on our screen here, you can see from far ways, I guess, kind of how this thing was set up. This was a tabernacle that the Lord had commanded Moses to tell the people to build so that he could have himself a dwelling place. God told Moses, I need a place to reside among the people. I need something physical and tangible that the people can see, that they can look to as a place of worship. He wanted to centralize their worship into one central place called the tabernacle, also called the tent of meeting. He said, I want you to build it according to these certain patterns. So he was very detailed in how he wanted this thing to be accomplished. But before he even gave Moses any other details, he told Moses to receive an offering. The thing I love about the offering that he told Moses to receive is that the offering was voluntary. He had just consecrated his covenant with the people. Moses, back in Exodus chapter 24, remember 24:7, we talked about that verse and how Moses had proposed to the people to make God their God, and they agreed to the conditions, they agreed to the promise, and they entered into a covenant with God. So now that the covenant had been agreed to, now it was time for the ring. Somebody says time for the ring.
Time for the ring.
If you love it, put a ring on it. Amen. So Moses is saying, now it's time for the ring ceremony. It's fine, baby, that you asked me to marry you, but I want to see the ring. Brothers, don't if you don't have a ring, don't ask. You're not ready. Get the ring. You know, there's an order to this thing. Go ahead, get the ring, and then you present her with the ring, and then she says yes, then you put the ring on her finger, and then thus and so. Amen? So here we are, because this whole thing represents a wedding. All this whole thing is just a big old wedding. The whole tabernacle experience is about the wedding. We look at the bronze laver, the place of sacrifice. When two enter into a covenant together, there has to be a sacrifice that must be made. Are you following me? And if you read through the scriptures, you see that when a covenant was made, what they would do is they would take a sacrificial animal, they would cut them down the middle, put one side on that side, another side on that, another of the halves on that side, and there will be an aisle of blood leading to the altar. You wonder why she walks down the altar to meet the bridegroom? Well, that's because you have one side of the covenant, her family, the other side of the covenant, his family, and the two are walking down the aisle to meet at the altar. And at the altar, the sacrifice takes place. At the altar, the husband says, you know what, I'm done with the single life. At the altar, the woman says, I'm done with the single life. Now the two become one at the altar. You understand? It was the same way when you came to Jesus. When you met God at that brazen altar, that place where sin had to be judged. That's what the bronze represented. It was the bronze is a metal that represented judgment. So there was a judgment that takes place. You said, listen, I'm a sinner. I want you to forgive me of my sin. And right there you lay it at the altar, at that bronze altar, and that's where your sin is forgiven. That's where the marriage takes place. And then after that takes place, you go to what's called the bronze laver. That's a washing basin. Are you understand? That's where you come clean. That's where you come clean. See, the problem, some of the frustration we have in our walks with the Lord is that we haven't stopped at the altar. We want to go straight to the cleansing. We're trying to clean up before we get in covenant. Somebody say you got to catch the fish before you clean the fish. See, don't worry about unclean fish. You got to catch them first. You got to get them to the altar first. And then once they come to the altar, now I got you, baby. Now let's do the cleanup. Now let's go to the washing machine. Let's go down and let's start cleaning some stuff out now. But until you enter into covenant, there's no use. You're just going to hit your head upside the wall over and over again, and that's called insanity. Doing the same thing but expecting a different outcome. If you want something different to happen in your life, you got to do something different. Are you following me? You got to plant the right seeds. Listen, you keep planting lemon seeds, you're going to keep getting lemon trees. Only a fool plants a lemon seed and expect oranges to sprout out and then get mad at the tree because they're not giving up oranges. That's not what you're planting. Are you following? My Bible said that every seed produces after its own kind. My. You guys ready for the message? There's glory in the giving. Listen, 3 points we want to make today. There was a proposal of the gift. There was the purpose of the gift. And then also there was the promise of the gift. The Bible said, Exodus 25:1-2, it said that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering." Listen, I need to have a caveat to this message because I want to talk to the people here who are regular attendees of Relevant Church. Amen. If you consider yourself a regular attendee of Relevant Church, then I'm talking to you. But if you're just visiting out, you can listen in. Is that all right? You can listen in. You can just glean and get some of this. But I want to talk to the folks who consider themselves regular attendees at Relevant Church. Because look what God is saying. He said, God spoke to Moses, said, "Tell the children of Israel, tell my people to bring me an offering." He didn't go say, "Tell the Canaanites to bring an offering." Tell the Hittites. He didn't say, "All those folks that are outside of covenant, I'm not really concerned about their offering, because what the scripture says, that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just." I'm going to get theirs in due time. You understand? I'm going to get theirs in due time. But this is a proposal to my people. Somebody say, "If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. And then do what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear. Then I'll heal." Oh, you see how that works? God just said, if I can just get my people, if I can just get the church to stop being so wicked, if I can get the church to just stop being so double-minded and unstable in all their ways, if I can just get my church to act right, then the whole land will be healed. Because then I'll heal their prayers. Then I'll hear them, but I can't hear them because they're doing too much mess. Are you following? He said, Lord said, "Look, you're doing too much. Stop. Pray. Turn from your wicked way. Then I'll hear, and then I'll heal." Because everything I hear, I've obligated myself to perform. Oh, my word will not return void, but it shall accomplish what I set for it to accomplish. Are you following me? So God is saying, "Look, I got a proposal, Moses, for my people. I want you to go tell them, anyone that has a willing heart, anyone that wants to see this tabernacle built, anybody that has a heart for my ministry, anybody that has a heart for what I'm trying to do in the earth, anybody that wants to see their family saved, anybody that wants to see their children grow up in the admonition of the Lord, anybody that wants to see a revival in this present age before I come back," and he's coming back. "Anybody that watches the news and gets upset and frustrated about what's going on in the world, anybody like that, if there's anybody out there like that, Moses, I want you to find out and see who they are. Because I want them to put their money where their mouth is." Are you understanding what he said? He said, "I got a proposal for them, Moses. I'm going to do a great and mighty thing." He gave Moses this commandment before he even told him what the tabernacle was supposed to look like. He said, "First, go test their hearts." See, these gifts were voluntary. Exodus 25:2, it said, "From everyone who gives it willingly." Listen, my Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, God loves a cheerful giver. And you guys hear me joke about it all the time. Listen, God doesn't love a fearful giver. And he certainly does not love a tearful giver. So when you bring your offering unto the Lord up in here, if you're going to come crying, keep it. Listen, not many pastors will tell you to keep your offering. But listen, I got my offering in there, and I don't want you to contaminate it with your woe. "Well, I don't know. If I give this 20, I can't go to Lucille's today. If I do this," go ahead. Hold on to it. Listen, because my Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. He said, will you come? And that's why we do it how we do it. We put the basket up here so that you can bring your offering. We don't, you know, logistically and all that stuff. I don't know how other churches decide whether they're going to pass the basket or do that. But we just put the basket in front so that you can bring your offering. And when you bring it, you should come dancing a little bit. Come, "Lord, I'm so glad that I can bring this offering. See, because I understand from where my blessings come from. So since I understand where they come from, since I know who they actually belong to, and I'm just a steward of it, over it. Listen, I'm so glad, Lord, that you let me keep 90% and you only asked me for 10. But here goes 15 just in case you need it. Here goes a little extra. The Bible said the people gave more than enough. Can I just share with you a little of my, can I vent a little bit? Is that all right? Because I got permission to just vent just a little bit. I'm just going to go off course just a little bitty tiny bit. You know when folks say, oh, you're supposed to tithe a whole 10%. You got to watch out for people like that.
Yes, Lord.
You really do. Because the truth of the matter, God wants us to excel in giving. 10% is really only the baseline. It's really only the baseline of what he was. That's just kind of a template for what he really wants you to do. He wants you to excel in giving. I hear people say, well, is it, I got to give 10%. They come. Really? Well, how about this? What if God only gave you 10% of what you were supposed to give? What if he just gave you 10% of your air this morning? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, what if God just gave you just enough all the time? Just enough air, just enough clothes, just enough food. What if he just gave you just enough? Well, is that off the gross or off the net? Listen. If you got to get that deep about it, then your heart really isn't right. To me, they just say your heart, it really isn't right. Because you just want to say, how much can I just get away with giving the Lord and then I can go else to do? But listen, I don't know about you, but I want everything that God has for me. So if I can give, if I have the capacity to give more than that, then please, I will give more than that, Lord, because it doesn't matter. I know where it comes from. Listen, once I was delivered from that mindset, see, I've been there. And we all have to go through that process. I've been there. Well, 10%. Are you rounding off to the nip? Do I round up? I round down? I don't know. I want God to round up. So maybe I'll just round up. Whatever. You understand? Some folks pull out their calculators. Like, you know, we go out to eat. And people start pulling out their calculator. Really? So God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because giving is a matter of the heart. Jesus said as much. He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Oh, my. You want to know where your heart is? Check your checkbook. Ouch. That A ouch right there. See, at Relevant Church, we do this thing called A ouch. It's when I say something that's really true to the Word of God, but you don't really like it, but you got to accept it. So you can't really say amen. So we just say A ouch. It just hit A ouch. You understand? Listen, you check your checkbook. Look at your checkbook. And then after you're done looking at your checkbook, I want you to check your calendar. Where are you spending your money? Where are you spending your time? Where are you spending your gift? And that's where you'll see where your heart is. Do you spend time in praise and worship? Do you spend time in the Lord's house? Do you spend time in Bible study? Do you spend time in prayer? Do you give money to the things that you care about? If you say you care about the Lord's tabernacle, then you should support it with what God has given you to support it, because it's all His anyway. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. That means all of His riches are in your pockets. Don't believe me? Ask the psalmist who said, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Listen, all the money in your bank account belongs to God. All the money in Beyonce's bank account belongs to God. Are you following me? All of it is all His. Amen. All we are is stewards over what He's given us. And when we realize that, then we don't have a problem giving it back to Him as he directs us to do so. Oh, my. This is an easy message to preach this morning, because I can testify. Man, ever since I started giving to the Lord without restraint, man, God has blessed me so abundantly. Listen, I haven't worked for anybody in 10 years. I haven't worked for anybody in 10 years. You understand? That's because I stepped out on faith and done what God called me to do. Plain and simple. I had no idea what I was going to do. I left the job to start one business, and I don't even do that anymore. God led me in a whole other direction, and I have not worked for anybody in 10 years. And it's the blessing was in the giving. Listen, I'm not going to kid you. There's been some highs and there's been some lows. You understand? There's been some more highs and some more lows. But the highs outweigh the lows. And I've been blessed because of it. And all the way through it, I never stopped giving. That was not an option. Listen, if it comes down to Ma Bell, I'm aging myself. The only old people refer to Ma Bell. That's the phone company, you young people. So maybe I should say Sprint or Verizon. Ma Bell, what is that? That's how the older folks used to refer to the telephone bill, Ma Bell. You understand? But when it comes down to Ma Bell or the Lord, can I borrow your phone? Let me hold your phone for a minute. I'll bring it back. Listen, you got to give unto the Lord because he blesses everything else. Amen? Oh, my. Here it is. Listen, the gifts that he said, they were specified gifts. In other words, when the Lord asked the people to give a gift, to bring him an offering, it was for a specific purpose, and he told them exactly what they needed to bring. Listen, you know why building funds in a lot of churches don't work? Because they're not organized. They're not thought out. They're not processed properly. And it makes it difficult for people to get along with a vision that they can't understand. Are you following me? I've done research and I've asked and talked to people who have been successful at capital campaigning. And I always see that there's a trend of consistency among what they're asking the people to do. And there is a planned effort. They don't say, well, we're going to have a building fund and it's going to be endless. Some of us have been a part of endless building funds. We've been given to the building fund for 20 years and we haven't seen a building yet. No part of the building. Not even a brick. You understand? Because they're not always organized in such a way. A building fund says, we're going to take this amount of time to do this, and this is where it's going. There's a lot of transparency as to where the money is going and what it's supposed to be about. That's what we call decently and in order. Yeah. Amen? And then people can see the vision, they can get behind the vision and understand what it's all about, and that makes it easier for them to be cheerful givers rather than tearful givers. Amen? So he said these are specified gifts. And then they were gifts of great value. He didn't say just to tell the people, just bring me the scraps. He said, bring me some gold, bring me some silver, bring me some purple, some blue. See, we go down and we get our Laker jerseys at the local sporting goods store, and there's plenty of purple. But in those days, purple was a very rare color to come by. It was very expensive. You all remember Lydia in the book of Acts. She had a whole business created through the color purple. See, I said the color purple. You guys didn't even react. You guys were supposed to, where my movie buffs at? You were supposed to react. Ooh, I love that movie. But purple was, it was, this was a, this was a, there were dyes that had to be made and things like that. And this was very expensive material that God was calling. Listen, God don't want your leftovers. And sometimes that's what we do. We don't give God what's right. We give him what's left over. You understand? After I go and do this and do that and do this and do that, and then I'll come around. But God says, bring your first fruits. Think of me first. Consider me first. So you consider me first, I'll consider you first. Are you following me? So you wonder why everybody around you is getting blessed and you're not getting blessed. Maybe because you keep putting God last on your list. Maybe it's because you don't give them what's right. You just give them what's left after everybody else is satisfied. Then you just give them a little. God is saying, listen, you want my best, but you don't want to give your best. Are you following me? So God says, here goes a proposal that I give it. God proposes to partner with us. That's called covenant. What God is saying, let me further further establish this covenant with my people. Let us get into agreement. We've agreed to get married. We agreed to this partnership that is lifelong. I'll be your God, you'll be my people. I'll be your husband, you'll be my wife. I'll be your wife, you'll be my husband. Let's get together and build something. You know what Home Depot say? Home Depot say, let's build something together. Or is that Lowe's? Come on now. See, all you handymen were supposed to correct me. Am I the only one? I love Lowe's and Home. They said, let's build something together. You can build it. We can help. They're offering you a covenant. They're Home Depot, right? Yeah, see, that's a covenant. They say, you can build it. But you better bring Home Depot and offer it. You can't walk up out of here with no wood and drywall without bringing that offering to the register. Are you following me? Oh, it's going to be a different type of covenant that looked like this. You're going to be bound for real. Amen. With two chains. See, y'all didn't even know two chains was in the Bible. I'm going to leave that alone. But then there was a purpose of the gift. Exodus 25 and 8. God said, and let them make me a sanctuary. Sanctuary, a holy place. Let them make me a holy place. Let them make me a place here on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let them make me a place that will represent what's going on in heaven. See, God's true dwelling place is in heaven. But what he does, he says, I want what happens down here to look like what's going on up here. So the whole tabernacle was just a mirror reflection, was to be a mirror reflection of what was going on in heaven. If you read the book of Revelation, you'll see all of these things replayed there in the heavenlies. You'll see that golden censer. You'll see the angels that are lighting their candles, the altar of incense. You see all that in heaven. So God said, look, let them make me a place, a holy place. A place set apart for only my use. Listen, we're here in this auditorium and we love being here. It's been such a blessing being here. Listen, we prayed about having this place. Some of you guys don't even know. Before we even moved in here, we spent time walking around this campus praying that God would open up an opportunity for us to be here. You didn't even know that. We've been praying. We've been praying for this day right here. You understand? We've been praying. So we love this place. It's been a blessing to us. But God is saying it's time to move on. It's time for you to build me a tabernacle. It's time for me to have a dwelling place that's holy and set apart for my use. See, this place isn't holy and set apart for God's use all the time. When we pack up and go out of here, then, you know, hopefully the Spirit remains and covers over the children that eat and play in here. But this is not God's sanctuary. God wants us to build him a sanctuary. A place where he can dwell. A place where ministry can take place 24/7. Are you following me? So we're at that place right now. It's been 3 years of ministry and right on time. Some of you who have been with us from day one have always heard Pastor Chuck speak about this 3 to 5 year period of when God was going to have us to build. This is year number 3. So we're shifting gears. Amen. We're shifting gears and we're shifting them up when we're going toward where God wants us to be. He said, let them make me a sanctuary. So the purpose of these gifts was to make God a sanctuary, not to make us a sanctuary. See, you got to be careful when you start building things for yourself. See, when you build things for yourself, you got to maintain them for yourself. You understand? When you build things for yourself, you get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. You guys remember way back in Genesis, the people said, let us make a name for ourselves and build a tower up to the heavens. He said, and that was the problem. Let us make a name for ourselves. Listen, you don't want to make a name for yourself. You really don't. When you make a name for yourself, you got to maintain that name for yourself. And as soon as somebody catch you and Instagram you doing something you're not supposed to be doing, then you're going to find yourself in a whole lot of trouble. Are you following me? Because we got cell phone cameras everywhere. Listen, I told you all, if you guys ever see me going to Hooters, you better pull me out, say, Pastor Chuck, that is not your ministry. You know good well that ain't your ministry. Get on from over there. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to be careful when you try to make a name for yourself, because God's going to come and confuse all of that stuff. Oh, you want to make a name for yourself? Okay, good luck. It's like he takes the puzzle and just breaks it up in pieces. Say, oh, there you go. Good luck putting it together. No, we don't want to make a name for ourselves. We want to make a name for him. The Bible said that let our good works shine before men, that when men see our good works, then they will glorify God. So everything you want to do, especially young people, everything that you do, you want it to glorify God. When you're dancing, you want it to glorify God. Listen, twerking does not glorify God. I'm sorry, there's no way around it. There's no way to make it, but it doesn't glorify God. Listen, if you're making music that doesn't glorify God, and believe me, I've been there. I've made music that didn't glorify God. I listened to it one day. I said, wait a minute. Did I just mention the name of Jesus in one verse and then cuss in the next one? Oh, this stuff's got to stop. Rap career over. Done. Didn't take me but 2 minutes to get up out of there. Man, this is not glorifying God. This anointing is from somebody else. My. The purpose of the gift was to glorify God. Malachi 3:10. Look what God said to the prophet Malachi. That there was purpose in bringing the offering to the Lord. Listen, I know folks, I know people that don't go to church, but they send offerings into the Lord, and that's fine, especially if you can't make it. If there's something prohibiting you from being in the presence, being at church from Sunday to Sunday. But there are other folks that I know that they think, oh, I don't have to go to church, but I'll just send a little something in. No, that's the wrong heart. My Bible said, bring ye all ye tithes into the storehouse. There is a blessing in the bringing. There is a blessing in the bringing. Do you think God is more interested in you or your money? I think he's more interested in you. I think he's more interested in your presence than he is with your presence. You understand? And because when you come to the altar and you come and you bring that offering, that takes a sacrifice. That means you had to get up, you had to put some thought into it, you had to put some heart into it, and you had to come up and you had to bring that offering to the Lord. And then when you bring your offering to the Lord, something else happens. Because you thought you were bringing him something, but then you find out that you was coming and you got something out of your giving. Can anybody have that testimony? Well, you thought you were doing the Lord a favor. Lord, I'm here in the house. Look at me. I'm looking good. I'm sharp. Casket sharp. What they call a casket sharp? That means you look good enough to bury. Look at me. I'm here, Lord. Pat me on the back. I'm here. But then you come into the house of the Lord and you find out that's not the blessing. The blessing was in what was given to you at the altar. Listen, God enters into covenant, and in the covenant there are always two parties, but one generally trumps the other. And God said, you bring what you have and I'm going to bring what I have. Listen, when I was younger and I was a teenager, I used to play this game with my buddies called Big Bank Take Little Bank. Excuse me, I'm a little ghetto, y'all, so I have flashbacks sometimes and I forget my articulate self. And I go back. But it was called Big Bank. My cousin Albert, he knows what I'm talking about. You would play Big Bank, Take Little Bank. You know what? The premise of the game was I empty the money in my pocket, and you empty the money in your pocket, and whoever got more gets to keep it all. Anybody in here want to play Big Bank, Take Little Bank with God? You bring yours, you put yours on the table, and then God's going to put his on the table. And the table going to break when God put his on the table. There's no room on the table for God. He can't even hold it. But God said, look, even your little bit belongs to me. It was like that atheist that challenged God. God said, okay, Mr. Atheist, let's have ourselves a little contest. Let's each make a man, and let's see who can make a better man. They just said, yeah, I'll take that. Let's do it. God said, there's only one thing. You got to get your own dirt. See, See, God created the dirt too. The atheist can only work with what's already been created. So he's already behind. So that's how it is when we come to God. God says, look, you bring what you have, and I'll bring what I have, and I'm going to multiply what you have. But you got to give it to me. Listen, you guys are familiar with multiplication. Listen, I'm having a hard time going through third grade. My oldest son's in third grade. We got these new core standards and stuff going on. And every time he brings home a low mark, I feel it. Because I feel like I'm being graded because I help him with his homework. Man, this is tough. What are they doing in the third grade? But he's learning multiplication. And in multiplication, even you all didn't do so well in math, you understand that zero times anything equals zero, right? So when you give God nothing, and he comes to multiply it because he's a multiplier, but you give him nothing, then what you going to end up with? Amen, amen, amen. You got to give him, listen, and then multiplication, the more you give him, the more it multiplies. So if you give him one and you multiply it by whatever he wants to put, then you go get the same number back, right? But if you give him two, oh, that's going to double. You give him three, oh, man, that's going to triple. You understand what I'm saying? Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. Are you following me? That's what the word of God says. He says, look, I want to multiply whatever it is you bring to me. I'm going to multiply it. Listen, that doesn't mean that if you give God $100, he's going to multiply it into $1,000. That doesn't necessarily mean that. You understand? But what it does mean, that you can have peace in your life that you can't buy. You can have joy in your life everlasting that you won't understand. You don't understand why you're blessed. You have favor that you can't buy. You understand? You don't understand why you keep getting promoted at the job. It's because it's tied to your giving. Because your giving glorified God. Your giving says, listen, I trust you with everything that I have. So here it is, Lord. Take it and multiply it. Multiply it in my family. Multiply it in my marriage. Multiply it in my children. Let my children and children's children be blessed. Because I am sowing seed into what you called me to do. That's the economy of God. Are you following me? You don't go say, well, I put in 100, so I'm expecting 1,000. That's not Jesus, that's Vegas. Vegas works like that. Offer you a whole lot for a little. And then you go home broke. Oh, my. I think I might have to have Marquez come sing us a song. No windows in those casinos. You ever notice that? No windows. Pump in nice fresh air for you, keep you up. Keep the drinks flowing free. Where can you go get free alcohol? Well, nobody give away free alcohol. Vegas does. So they know they're going to keep you at that one arm jack. This is the one. This is the one. I planned on spending 100. Now I'm on 200. That's all I got to do is hit one time. Drinks coming, no clocks. There's no clocks in there. You didn't notice that, huh? Next time you go. Yes, I'm trying to convict you by the Holy Spirit. You'll never walk in. You can't come to this church and feel good when you go into that casino. You're going to hear Pastor Chuck's voice in your life. Look around, no clocks. They don't want you to know what time it is. You went in, it was dark. You came out, it was dark, but you didn't realize it was 3 days later. My. No windows. They don't want the light to get in. So they got a lot of artificial light, but they don't have the light doesn't get to come in. That's sunlight. I said the sunlight. All right, let me leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone. Got to get through this. Good to do. But look what the scripture says. Look what it says. The offering makes provision for the Lord's work. God told Malachi, he said, bring the tithe, bring the offering into the storehouse so that there can be food in my house. In other words, we want to do ministry, but ministry takes money. Listen, I can't tell the Edowanda School District, listen here, man, we're not going to pay our rent this month because this is a church. They're going to say, oh, well, you really? We're going to get here next Sunday and the doors are going to be locked. You, do you understand what I'm saying? I can't go to Guitar Center and say, hey, man, we need some new sound equipment, you know, but we're a church, so just go ahead and put it on God's tab. They're going to say, you come back when you have some money. You understand? Would you like to open up an account? We can help you out. You understand that the ministry takes money. See, what tickles me sometimes is that so many folks suspect so much from the church, but they give so little to the church. Well, why don't the church do this? Why didn't the church do that? There wasn't nothing in the storehouse to do it. You understand? So, and who's the first responder to all the major tragedies? Churches. Whenever there's something goes down, the church is there. Oh, there's earthquake, there's a flood. We're opening up the church so the people can come in. We'll lay out pallets at the church. So you understand, this is how it works. The church is always the first responder, is always there to provide for the people in need, regardless of whether you go to the church or not. That's what the church is supposed to be. But God said there has to be food in the storehouse. There has to be meat in my house. We can't have a church that has covers that are bare, because there's ministry to do. Oh my, my. If I could just peel back my skull and let you guys see the vision that God has given for Relevant Church, you would blow your mind. Because it blows my mind. There's stuff that we need to do. We need a van. Listen, when I was a kid, one of the greatest joys in life was when the church van used to come around our neighborhood and pick up all the neighborhood kids and take us to church. And gave us one of those little orange Gideon Bibles. We had apple juice and crackers, and that was a blessed experience. I wanted to go to church. I believe that there's some young people out there that want to come to church, that want to be at church, that all they need is to see a van rolling down the street, say, call us, we'll pick you up for church. And I guarantee you this place would be overflowing with young people. And maybe a few mature people as well. Are you following me? So God has on my heart, we're looking at a van that we can purchase. Amen? But we need to have something in the storehouse to do so. Listen, we are becoming desperate in our need for a tabernacle. We need a place, a stationary place, so that we can do ministry. Are you following me? We need to have a youth ministry. I need a place where I can do youth ministry on Friday nights, every Friday night, so the youth can come out and have a place to go where they can come and sing and celebrate unto the Lord. Where they can come and express themselves any way they want to express themselves to glorify God. We need a place to do that. Are you understanding? We need a place where we can do Bible study, because we need to grow deeper in the word of the Lord. We got to go from being a Sunday church to being an everyday church. Amen. But that only happens when the people of God say, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Listen, at the end of the day, there's a promise of the gift. Listen, everything God asks you to do is attached to a promise. Listen, Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous soul shall be made rich, and he who waters will himself be watered. Listen, I just love those verses of scripture when God says, listen, the generous soul will be made rich. He said, I'll provide seed to the sower. Some of us are waiting for seed to sow. But God says, no, I want you to sow, and then I'll provide you seed to sow. You see how that works? That wasn't just a play on words. That's the truth. Some of us are waiting, when I get something, then I'm going to give something. God says, take whatever you have. The widow had two mites. That was less than 1 cent. But it was all she had, and she gave it unto the Lord's work. And God said, the Lord said, this woman has given more than all of you. Because God is not looking for equal giving. He's looking for equal sacrifice. He's not looking for equal giving. He's looking for equal sacrifice. You understand? So he says that the generous soul will be made rich. He who waters will himself be watered. And then the promise of the gift, he promises his presence. Exodus 25:8, he said, that I may dwell among them. Yes. Oh, my, my, my. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I can feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. Come on, sing it. The presence of the Lord is here. I can feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is... Then watch this one. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. See, where His presence is, there's power. In His presence is the fullness of joy. Come on now. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So God has said, listen, if you want my presence, when you bring me an offering, I'll give you my presence. And my presence is much better than my presence. See, you may be asking God for a new house or a new car or new something, but He said, listen, that pales in comparison. That's easy for me. What you really want is my presence. You want my presence. You want people to see you walk down the street and say, like they said to Peter, these men were unlearned, uneducated, but they've been in the presence of Jesus. Isn't that what they said in the book of Acts? They said, look at these guys. These guys are dumb. These guys are illegitimate. They're stupid. They don't know anything. They haven't been to the seminary. They haven't done any of this stuff. But something is different about them. They saw the presence of the Lord upon Peter. And that's what God is saying. When you bring me an offering, my promise that my presence will be with you. And where my presence is, there's the fullness of joy. Listen, can I just clarify what joy is? God promises us joy, unspeakable joy. But He's not talking about happiness. See, happiness is based on circumstances. This is why we have problems in our marriage. We thought that we got married, we were going to be happy forever. Some of you married folk, can you testify? You got married, say, oh, these are going to be the happiest days of our lives. Then after about 3 months, they start getting on your nerves. See, after about 3 months, you start see, when you were dating, opposites attract. But when you get married, opposites attack. Can I get a witness? See, everything that was cute about them when you were courting them is not so cute no more. Now it's kind of irritating. You understand? It was cute when he was opening the door and doing all these things. But now it's going over to he's being real controlling. They say, wait a minute. You know, it was cute when she allowed you to be the man and all this stuff. But then now she don't do nothing. You understand? Listen, I'm not testifying. So somebody sitting up in here, this is not real. I'm just using examples of other people. So I feel a contesting spirit up in this area, so I got to be careful with what I say. But it's not about happiness. You don't get married to be happy, but when you get married, you want joy. Because joy is not based on circumstances. Circumstances change. See, some of us say, I will right now. We go to that altar and say, yeah, I will, you, all that good stuff. I will. But really, they should put, I will right now. I do as long as he do. But when he stops doing, then I don't. You understand? I will as long as he will or she will, but when they stop doing, then I won't. And now we have irreconcilable differences. Why'd you get divorced? Irreconcilable. What is an irreconcilable difference? Me and my wife have irreconcilable differences every day. There's some stuff that just ain't never going to get worked out, Brother Marquez. Some stuff just going to, because she's who she is and I am who I am, but the two have become one. And the divorce never crosses our mind. Are you following me? Because what we have joy. We're not happy. We're not happy with one another all the time, but we do have the fullness of joy because she ain't going nowhere and I'm not going anywhere. You understand? Nobody leave it. I might go downstairs. Yes, I go downstairs, but you leave for an extended period of time with these five kids? Hold up, Jack, you ain't going nowhere. You understand? But God says in my presence there's the fullness of joy. That means whether you have an ups or whether you have an downs, you still have my joy. Because where I am, there is liberty. Liberty means you've been set free. Paul told the church in Galatia, he said, stand fast in the liberty by which you were made free. Do not become entangled again in the yoke of bondage. You've been made free by Christ Jesus. And since he paid the price, you don't have to. So walk in the freedom. My, it's Black History Month, right? We could tie that in. Walk in the freedom, brothers, sisters. Brown, black, yellow, white, whatever you are, walk in the freedom for which Christ has set you free. And we can only get that by maintaining your presence with the Lord. The Bible said that there was a cloud that represented God's glory that inhabited the tabernacle. It would float over the tabernacle to let you know that God's spirit was there. You want that cloud to just hover over you wherever you go. When you go to work, you want that cloud, that glory. See, the glory, the gift is in, the glory is in your gift. The presence of the Lord is in your gift. You want more from the Lord, then you got to give more to the Lord. You have to say yes. You understand? He's requiring more of you. Some of you got this is a real message. Some of you got to do more for God. I can't paint it anyway. Some of you got to do more for God. You got to be more committed to God. You got to give him more of your time. You got to give him more of your resources. I don't know what it is, but you know what God is calling you to do. Amen. So God promises his presence. Listen, the presence that he, when he said, I may dwell among them, that was the Shekinah glory. The word used there for glory was the Shekinah glory. This meant the radiance of God. At some point in this narrative, Moses gets to go face to face with God. And when he goes face to face with God, he comes down from the mountain with these two tablets. And the Bible said that his face was shining. He said he didn't even know it. But the people saw his face shining so much that he had to wear a veil when he went into the presence. So his face was shining. So in other words, you may not see how special you are, but other people will see how special you are. They will see God's glory on you. They'll say something is different about that brother. Something is different about that sister. And then when you lift up the name of Jesus, that's going to draw more people toward him. Is your life drawing people towards Christ? Let your works shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify God. The question is, when was the last time you've done something that caused people to glorify God? We ought to excel in giving. Listen, in closing, the glory is in the gift. The glory is in your giving. God presents us a proposal. Then he tells us that there's a purpose toward the gift that he wants us to bring. And then there's a promise attached to the gift. And look at how God closes 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's in your notes. I'm going to read it. And we're going to stand and pray. It says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God for the administration of this service. Not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I want you all to take that scripture and write it on the tablet of your hearts so that you understand, listen, you can give something to God, but at the end of the day, it's about his indescribable gift. Giving is one of the highest forms of worship. We've been teaching about what it means to worship God, how we have to come through the brazen altar, we have to be forgiven of our sins, and then we have to wash away those daily sins in order for us to enter into the holy place. And once we get into the holy place, we have the candles that illuminate the word of God. There's the table of showbread, the bread representing the word of God. The candle is actually illuminating the word of God that's sitting on that table. They're all made of gold. And then there's the altar of incense before us, which represents our prayers and how we must send up a sweet aroma to God's nostrils so that he can hear our prayers. And we went through all of that about that's what worship is. All of those different steps are inhabited in the way we worship God. They're all actually in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. All of those things are encompassed actually in the Lord's Prayer, or we should say the disciples' prayer. So all those things are in there, but the one thing that we cannot miss is the ministry of giving. The ministry of giving is one of the highest forms of worship. Worship means attributing worth to. It's saying that this thing, this object of my affection, is worth my time, my resources, and my talents. Everyone standing all over the building.